A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, The Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, The KSL Sports Zone. Excited for our next guest. Our good friend Matt Thomas is going to join us from Houston.
Oh, nice.
A little Deshaun Watson in the news.
Nice. It'll be great to catch up
with
him.
We'll talk some NFL with him. College football. Maybe a little Cafe Rio. He's a big fan.
We're going to have to mention the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit of Big 12.
Yeah, look, there's a lot on the table. If nothing else, it's just an excuse for us to talk to Matt, because Matt's good people.
Always a great conversation.
Oh, man, he may have heard me say that. All right, never mind. Matt joins us. How are you?
I heard every word you just said. Thank you.
And I meant every word of it, too. One of our favorite conversations. We might have to get a new connection. We can... Well, Lloyd's going to try to get you a better connection there. I don't know what the cell service is looking like there in Houston, but great.
Sound a bit like a transformer. I think he came out of the gate swinging at BYU right there.
I think so, but we'll give him a chance to reset that.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's just talking mad BYU trash right out of the gates. For those of you that don't know, Matt Thomas, the voice of the Rockets and a lover of all things Houston.
Yes.
But I still think in his heart he wants to be a Utahn, and he loves the BYU Cougars.
I believe so. Even though he spent a year as the play-by-play voice of the University of Utah.
Yeah. I still think that that Cougar fandom burns bright in his heart. I don't know. I do feel like he was coming right out just swinging at the BYU Cougars right there.
Oh, man.
Dang it, I'm sad that his reception fell apart on us.
I am going to ask him who will have the more wins this year, the Jazz or the Rockets, assuming Donovan Mitchell gets traded.
Oh, maybe that's a good place to start.
Well, let's do it. Now he's back. Matt Thomas joins us. Matt, if you were a betting man, assuming Donovan Mitchell gets traded, which we all anticipate is going to happen, who wins more games this year, your Rockets or the Jazz?
Of course my Rockets. What are you kidding? I mean, come on now.
Who wants to lose more games this year, the Jazz or the Rockets?
I'm not answering that question. By the way, we should deal with some realities here. We've had a major electrical lightning rainstorm here. My power in my house is completely out. So I'm actually outside in the rain getting pneumonia just so I can be on your show.
Well, we appreciate that.
That's commitment.
Those are the sacrifices. Look, I know you left Minnesota because it's always like 20 degrees below there, but you've dealt with floods. You've dealt with all kinds of stuff there in Houston. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Yeah, besides my highly successful radio show, while we never won show in Houston market 14 of the last 16 months, you're welcome and congratulations and thank you. I accept that. I'm also the overnight hurricane coverage for our news station, which is our sister station. So it'd be like if KSL said, hey, we need Hans and Scotty to do the overnights, that's what they asked me to do. So trust me, I'm a man of many traits here in the Houston area. So when it's raining, I always think about, do I need to put a raincoat on and go cover a hurricane? But at this point, it's just a good old-fashioned rainstorm.
Well, now that we're part of the mothership here with Bonneville, if they asked us to do that, Hans and I's response would be
yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
How many times a day?
And how much would you like to, we will do that.
Let me tell you something, boys. It's hashtag job security is what that is.
Amen to that.
Hey, Matt, I'm trying to figure out what a Trey Burke-Boban combination looks like on the court for you.
Don't worry about it. I don't think Trey makes the team. I'm not guaranteeing that. I just think that if anybody makes the squad, it's my new best friend, Boban. I cannot wait to meet him, and I cannot wait to travel with him and hear his life stories and hear about his great acting career.
I'm a little bit jealous. I'm not going to lie. I'm jealous because I'm a big fan.
We would love for Boban to suit up in a Jazz uniform. We do a weekly interview with him. We'd have a sponsor attach to that so fast and make his head spin.
Hey, you can't have him. He's our guy for life. Now, if you want to bring Donovan Mitchell here, I'll trade you Boban for Donovan. I have zero problem with that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Jazz might do that.
What are y'all doing? I mean, are y'all flipping out or what? I mean, this is the worst holding pattern in NBA history.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's weird because we all know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's got that weird vibe to it. You know that the Knicks have the most amount of picks that apparently Danny Ainge is coveting. And I'm sure that they'll leak that, oh, Charlotte's interested or Sacramento's interested. It's going to be the Knicks, and it'll happen before training camp. It's just we all just have to sit and be patient on and wait for Danny Ainge to pull the trigger.
Well, we had it to a much smaller extent a couple of years ago when Harden got moved from the Rockets to the Nets. And, by the way, that has worked out beautifully, if you know what I'm saying. So extra picks, swap picks. And if Brooklyn moves Durant and they go into a full rebuild mode there, that means the Rockets are going to have lottery picks aplenty.
Matt, do you think a lot of this has to do with Kevin Durant's holding pattern more than anything? The Donovan Mitchell being delayed with New York, do you think the Jazz are waiting for Kevin Durant? What do you think happens with Kevin Durant?
You know what? I haven't honestly has put the two and two together on that. I just thought, when you guys move Gobert, it's time to do everything in terms of a rebuild. I would treat it as, and again, I'm far from an expert on this particular situation. I would just say that I think you have to treat each deal separately because, boys, as you know, Durant's got 4 years left in his contract. I mean, that's a hard deal to move, and there is no hurry for it. Now, granted, being in limbo there and having a lot of the problems with Kyrie Irving and whether or not Ben Simmons comes back, that adds layers of discontent to what's going on there. And, oh, by the way, the owner and the owner sided with the general manager and the coach. But to me, I think it's two different animals because you tell me, how many years has Donovan had left on his contract?
Three.
Oh, well, that's really not that much different after all. So, if Danny's patient, he should get the best deal. My question is, will come training camp, will Mitchell even show up?
Yes, he will. And that's why this has been such a good situation for the Jazz and Danny Ainge, because Donovan Mitchell, by all accounts, is willing to just to chill and say, hey, look, I'll be a good soldier. I've got 3 years on my contract. The only thing that the Knicks have is that if Donovan Mitchell's on this team, it's going to delay their losing by a significant time frame. So the Knicks know the Jazz want to get busy losing. And to do that, Donovan Mitchell can no longer be part of the team. So it's a weird
situation. And by the way, I just got to tell you this. Not that you guys don't know what losing is all about, but it's tough down here. I mean, you got to remember, the Rockets before the Harden move and the Westbrook and the Chris Paul and everybody else that's been here and Dwight Howard. I mean, this is a team that was going to the playoffs on a regular basis. So while in theory you understand what a rebuild is and you understand it, it's still not fun. So if everybody thinks it's going to be a quick fix with draft picks, as you guys know, unless you've got a top three selection year in and year out, it's going to take time for these guys to grow up a little bit. So I wouldn't say, don't dream of what you wish for, but I would also say at the same time that, rebuilds have to happen. Atlanta is a good example. Phoenix is a good example. Milwaukee is a good example, but those teams, it took time, especially in the cases of Atlanta and Phoenix, as you guys know, for years were so terrible because of the fact they were still missing one or two key pieces.
So, Matt, just when you thought that Houston area gets rid of Deshaun Watson, it's announced that Deshaun Watson's going to return just in time to play in that Houston Texans game. How relieved is the Houston market that they're not dealing with this circus right now?
I would say, Hans, about 80% of my audience and the general Houston fan is very much relieved. There is still 20% at the end of the day that believe he did nothing wrong and that these are women that are gold diggers and going after the money. There's also a certain segment of that 20% that said, look, he's got his issues. He would have served a suspension regardless of what uniform he was wearing, but he's the best thing going out there. He's a top five quarterback. And the reality has set in that Davis Mills, the starting quarterback for this football team, who you guys saw a little bit here and there with Stanford, but had, you know, a decent first season as a rookie as an NFL quarterback. He was probably the second one best rookie behind Mac Jones, but the sample size is too small. And there's still a lot of apprehension as to whether or not this is the guy that can really lead the Texans. Now, if they fall flat on their face and they, you know, suffer a 3-14 or a 4-13 season, the Texans will have their draft pick, Cleveland's draft pick, and probably will go after a quarterback. But this isn't fun either. This is a full rebuild for the Houston Texans. And normally you start your rebuild with your franchise can't miss quarterback. The Texans right now, boys, don't know if they have that in Davis Mills.
So that's the thing that I think is really interesting is you've got a Rockets team that is losing. You've got an NFL team that's not very good. You got your Astros. You got the number one sports radio show 14 out of the last 16 months. So, I mean, obviously you're taking that chicken stuff and turning it into chicken salad, my friend.
Well, you know, it's funny because when Deshaun boys, to go back a little bit, before all this stuff off the field, Deshaun wasn't going to play for the Texans anymore anyway, regardless of what had happened with his massages, because he had gotten sideways with the ownership. He was not involved in the general manager search. He was not involved in the coaching search. He got sideways with the owners. So that in itself was great drama. And frankly, a lot of people didn't blame Deshaun for the way he felt because the Texans were so poorly managed with Bill O'Brien being the head coach and the general manager. He was barely equipped to be the head coach and was so out of his lane trying to be the general manager that people were like, we don't blame you, Deshaun. Go somewhere else. The strange part of all that is just the previous season, he signs this hellaciously large, big lifetime type contract. So was he doing that to set himself up to intentionally leave and get the Texans on the hook for a lot of money? Or did something really happen in a short period of time? We'll never know the true story on that. So it worked out pretty well for him up until all these allegations came into play. Then the Texans move him to Cleveland for 3 first-round picks, which was in itself, I thought, quite surprising. And then on top of that, he gets a bigger guarantee from the Cleveland Browns. So he was in a win-win-win situation up until the NFL said, we're not accepting 6 games. We're going to take this to an appellate court, and we're going to have another arbiter look at this and figure this out. So today, 11 games is quite odd. It was based kind of on the fact that he was going to still get his full salary this year if he had played 10 games of a 16-game schedule. But because it's now a 17-game schedule, that's the reason why it became 11. It's because he has to play 6 games in order for this next year of the contract to kick in. And then on top of that, which adds to all the drama, is the very first time he's set to play, it'll be at NRG Stadium against the Texans. And I was teasing my audience yesterday. CBS, you know, announced their lineups a few days ago, and we're like, well, there's no chance we're getting Tony Romo and Jim Nantz for a game. Well, that might have changed with today's announcement.
Pretty devastating, Matt, that we're watching BYU and Houston, kind of like the Cowardly Lion and Dorothy, skip through those lilacs to the Big 12, and all of a sudden they faint and fall because we get all this realignment, and now things are falling apart. It couldn't happen at a worse time. From your point of view, from what you're hearing, how unified or how solid is the Big 12 as things are starting to really swirl and move around right now?
It's not just the Big 12, Hans, and I'm sure you're hearing from your people as well. I don't think anybody is very solid. I think with UCLA and USC going to the Big 10 and Notre Dame still up in the air about what they're going to do, I don't think anybody should feel comfortable where they are. I was very early on in favor of merging the best of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 together to create whatever you wanted to call it. It would have clearly made it the third best conference in America. You would have gotten Big Ten money deals. You wouldn't have gotten SEC money deals, but you would have gotten better than what you had. The problem with that is, Hans, and you probably would agree with me on this, if you had invited Oregon and Washington to this party that we're talking about, who's to say those two teams wouldn't leave in a couple of years to go join another conference because their feelings were hurt that UCLA and USC left to go to the Big Ten? So I would say, while everybody's high-fiving each other and fist-bumping each other, congratulating themselves on our brand-new conference and this brand-new mode of college athletics, I think there are so many backroom, back-hall conversations that are going on that nobody should be safe. And that would include Utah. That would include the University of Houston. And that would certainly include BYU. Mm-hmm.
You excited to, overall, just looking from a football standpoint and certainly from a basketball standpoint as well, how good is this Big 12 minus Texas and minus Oklahoma? Just how good can this conference be? Take all the realignment stuff out just from a sheer football and obviously basketball standpoint, it's going to be fantastic. But from a football standpoint, how do you anticipate the quality being?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, boys. Baylor is going to be a national title contender, if not this year, certainly in the next couple of years. They're predicted to win the Big 12 conference. Oklahoma State's not going anywhere. I don't know much, frankly, about what TCU's future is and what they're going to be like, but they've always been, at least under Gary Patterson, a top 25 team. I don't count Kansas. Texas Tech can score a boatload of points, as you guys know, but they can't defend anybody, and they have gone through coach after coach. They haven't really been solidified as a program since Mike Leach left, and that was a long time ago. So I'm very excited about it because as a University of Houston alum and a guy that works on their broadcast, I'm excited about Baylor and I'm excited about TCU coming to our stadium. Tulsa doesn't bring anybody. East Carolina, people couldn't even know where East Carolina is. It's a very, very average conference football-wise right now in the American, so we're going up from average to I don't know what it could be. But BYU, Houston have had some great matchups over the years. Central Florida is not going to kid around with their program as well as one of the largest schools in the country, and they're kind of like us. They get the next best batch after UT and A&M want to take what they want, and obviously a lot of schools from all across the country come to Texas. So I'm optimistic, but to answer your question, give you a long form answer, I still don't know if what we're talking about today, guys, is going to be the same as 5 or 6 years. But right now, it'll be significantly better. Adding Cincinnati in the mix, adding BYU to, you know, a conference slate of all Texas teams, it's going to be at least a lot more fun for the alumni to have some teams they'd recognize.
Hey, Matt, I'm curious with what the Rockets TV broadcast and distribution looks like. I don't know if you've heard what's going on with the Utah Jazz. Fans are up in arms. The product was ripped off Dish, and it's hard to come across. And what was it, Scotty, 20% of Jazz viewers lost the ability to watch the game, or was it more than that?
Quite a bit more, about 30.
So you had all kinds of bickering and backbiting, and fans are just ticked off. What has Houston done to really appease the fan base and their ability to stream and be able to catch their favorite team?
Well, I can only go off of what happened here 10 years ago. The Astros and the Rockets got together, and they started to create their own network. It was a three-way partnership between the Astros, the Rockets, and Comcast, the cable provider here in town. And it was called Comcast SportsNet. It was an excellent network. I was involved with it quite a bit doing Astros pregame shows, and I was on their weekly talk show. And it gave you your mini localized version of SportsCenter. Well, that model is now long gone because these TV networks, all they want to do is carry the games and their little pregame shows. They don't want to do much. They want to carry infomercials. They don't want to put a lot of money into the product. The biggest problem with Comcast SportsNet, boys, 10 years ago was they didn't strike a deal with DirecTV, a la your Pac-12 deal. And when only 60% of Houston cable satellite subscribers could get the channel to begin with, it doomed them. Television ratings were absolutely horrific. Now, granted, the Astros during that time were terrible, so people didn't really miss them. But they would get 0.0s because very few people could get a hold of them, and when they were on, they weren't very good. But from a fan base perspective, it hurts tremendously. So I don't know what percentage of Jazz fans a year ago got the games that can't get them now. But the Jazz, whoever the operator is at the arena, is going to hear about it over and over and over again. People want to watch the games on television. And most importantly, as you guys know, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about having to go to a computer screen. They don't want to think about a pay-per-view option. They want to be able to go to channel 55 or 60 or whatever it is,
yep,
and find their Jazz,
yep,
place. So for your audience, I feel sorry for them, but it's going to get a lot worse before they can get an official deal done with whomever they choose to go with.
Well, Matt, appreciate it. Next time you're in town, the trip to Cafe Rio's on me. We'll take care of it for you, okay?
Extra meat?
You know it. Nothing but the best for you.
With our new management, that's possible.
Yeah, we can. Oh yeah, now, yeah, they've opened up the purse strings here. We can get a little crazy. Even if you want the dessert afterwards, we can make that happen.
Get the chips and queso too, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. I think we lost him. He's done. I got that extra meat. He's out.
I don't know why, but I love my conversations with him.
He's a good dude.
And there's so much going on in that Houston area right now. Great conversation. If you missed it, go back, listen to it, KSLSports.com.
I'm going to have to go back and do some research on the Houston market. 14 out of the last 16 months? I don't know about that.
Let's do research and call him on it.
I've got, you mean, 4 out of the last 16 months.
You put a teen on it.
Oh.
Let's stop being nice and start getting real.
Now, I know he's killing it down there. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, he is.
All right, we're down here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. So many great vehicles to choose from. They've got the forever warranty. Rates, incredibly low right now. You've got no payments now until November of 2022. And remember, everybody loves no money down. You've got no money options available for you right now. It's right here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Does anybody feel better about Deshaun Watson after hearing that news?
No. And you know what? I hope the women who he hurt feel restitution and feel like there's, you know, they've found some fairness on the back end of this, and financially, whatever, you know, that doesn't fix the problems. And hopefully it makes their lives a little bit easier on the back end and allows them, if they want to change jobs, totally understandably, if that's the case, they're able to do that. Deshaun Watson will be back. Ironically, you know who he's going to face in his first week back in week 13? Houston Texans, his former team.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at KSLSports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. We're going to delay our announcement on our top 60 and 60 for about 10 minutes because we don't get a chance to have this kind of conversation very often. Joining us now, you're going to see him in action at Vivint Arena coming up this weekend. Kamaru Usman, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
Kamaru?
Hi. Fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. Just how fired up are you for this fight coming up this weekend?
I'm excited. I don't know about it. Fired up is the word right now, because this is the wake up part. So being honest about my feelings right now, this is the sucky part. But the weird thing is tomorrow you flip a switch and that's where you really see how fired up I am. Tomorrow that switch is going to be flipped and it's going to be a spectacular night on Saturday.
I'm so glad you bring up that aspect of it, Kamara. I don't think a lot of people get to see just how desperate some of those weight cuts can be. What do you walk around at, and what do you have to get to when you step on the scale?
I would say now that I'm 35, I'm a little older, I recognize the body's not working as fast as it used to. So nowadays, I'm walking around about 195 to about 197, and I got to get down to 169, 170. And so the problem is I'm walking around at 195 to 197 at about 7-8% body fat when I'm fat and out of shape. And so by the time you get down to 170, whew, you're down at about 3% body fat. And, yeah, that's kind of painful.
How much time does that take to get to that point?
It's for me, it takes a little while, because if you want to do it the proper way, I have done it.
Yeah.
Like the reason I'm so good at it, I've done it every wrong way possible. And now I know the proper way to do it. And if you do it the proper way, you go through a 8-9, you know, me, I like about a 12-week training camp. And that's about enough time to be able to shave down the fat that you need to shave down in the body and really make sure that you get to it healthy and you get down the right way.
Kamara, I've just been a big fan, fascinated of your fight game, and your last four or five fights have been as interesting and as incredible as anything I've found. And I've loved the two fights that you had against Colby Covington, just kind of going back and forth with him and all the fanfare and everything that you guys were able to put together. How tough was that last fight against Colby back in November 6th?
It was extremely tough. And that's one thing that makes this thrilling and keeps me going, is an opponent, a formidable opponent that's willing to, you know, really put the work in as far as preparation, as far as skill-wise, and also as far as entertainment-wise. And those are all the things that Colby Covington brings to the table, which is what I respect completely. But those fights was tough, because he's one tough dude. And, you know, just thankful that I was able to get over that.
You haven't fought Edwards in a few years. Talk about how he has changed and what you've seen from him, and how have you changed since that first fight?
Edwards has changed a lot, because he's, you know, but when we fought the first time, I was only in the sport for almost 3 years, 2.5 years, something like that. He had been in the sport for 5 years. So we're still in the learning phase and the learning process. But he's worked on his grappling, his striking has gotten cleaner and more fluid. And he's very, very dangerous, dangerous opponent. He's got the confidence, too. You know, all week and all month, and since he got the opportunity, you see him walking around and he says it. This is time. It's my destiny. This is the right time to do it. He really feels it. He has that confidence. And that's something that's very, very dangerous in an opponent. And I recognize that. And I don't take that for granted.
We had Leon on the show 2 days ago, and we were talking to him about some of his flight and his arrival times and what he does to try to acclimatize. And he talked about being here for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just curious, what is kind of your game plan in arriving in an area, you know, getting to Salt Lake City where the fight's coming up here on Saturday? What is your pre-fight game plan of travel and acclimatization of where you're going to be fighting?
Nothing really. The one thing about me being here and being raised here in the States is it doesn't matter where it happens. You know, it doesn't matter where it goes. I've wrestled all over the country, and doesn't matter where I'm at, I still have to show up and I still have to perform. And I've always done that. I train actually in Denver, you know, so for me, you know, acclimating and all of that, yes, it is very, very necessary. But for me, with my mind, the way it works, I show up and I show out every time. And Saturday night, doesn't matter how long he came here to try to acclimate and do this and that, when we get locked in there, it's not going to make a difference at all for him.
You haven't lost since 2013 in only your second fight. What kind of pressure do you put on yourself knowing that not only are you a champion, but you have everybody gunning for you, but you have an insanely long winning streak?
There's a lot of pressure because, like you mentioned, that second professional fight, I felt what it was like to lose. I felt what it was like to not be prepared. I felt what it was like to not have the necessary information. And I told myself I would not feel that again. And so I've done the work. I've continuously done the work all throughout my career to get to this point. And Saturday is just another guy.
You brought up your wrestling career, and I was going back and just looking at, you know, where you've come from and what you've gone through to get to where you are. Usman, at what point did you decide, you know, I think this mixed martial art thing is a career for me. I think this is the direction I want to head. And was it the wrestling background that really promoted that?
Yeah, wrestling definitely gave me the opportunity to see mixed martial arts for the first time. Me and John Jones actually watched our first ever mixed martial arts fight, UFC fight, together. So, while we were wrestling in college. So, that was the first introduction to it. And then while I was in college, I had two teammates that would fight amateur during the summers. And so that gave me more of an introduction. And then once I was training for the Olympics in Colorado Springs, I had the ability to meet Sugar Rashad Evans and King Mo Lawal, who also introduced me to what it was like to be a fighter. And then getting the opportunity to be a wrestling coach on The Ultimate Fighter Season 14, that right there just kind of, it was basically like the sport kept calling me and calling me and calling me. And then in 2012, I just decided it was time. It was time to move into the sport and give it my all.
So big fight coming up on Saturday, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this, because obviously you get tight when you're as successful as you are in this sport. You get a lot of great opportunities. But what's it like when your agent or whoever calls you up and says, hey, Marvel just called and they want you to be in a Black Panther movie? What's that conversation like?
It was a good one because it was something that kind of manifested. You know, after the first one came out, I said, who better else to be able to go and give that movie the representation? And I said that it makes sense. You know, it all worked out. And I said, you know what? Why not? Why not me? You know, why not me? And I kept talking about it. And then all of a sudden the conversation came up and I get a call. It's like, hey, you like to audition for this? And then it was like, oh yes, of course. And after that audition, fingers crossed, I got the call back. And, you know, it's just one of those things that manifests and you put the work in it, and all of a sudden things start to happen.
Kamar, I'm really excited for you to fight in front of these Salt Lake City fight fans. This is a great fight state and a great fight city. And can't wait for you to be in Vivint Arena and feel the energy, because I do think that the fans are going to bring it here. Help them kind of understand what to expect in this fight coming up in just a couple of nights from Kamaru Usman.
Well, this is the thing for me. I always say it's up to my opponent. But to my opponent, if they truly did their homework, and they truly prepared the way they needed to prepare, then these fans in Salt Lake City and fans all around the world are going to be in for a treat. It's going to be another banging fight.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
Good luck, Kamaru.
Kamaru Usman, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The reason he said that? Because he knows if there's just a slip, just anything, he's going to capitalize on it. When you watch Kamaru fight, he is the king of finding the gap and exploiting it and destroying a guy over it. And his wrestling background gives him all the solid base to do it. But he'll wait for you to expose yourself once he feels like it. Okay, he's got a great corner, by the way. But once he feels like there's an area, he'll attack it. He's like... He's like Norm Chow when the dive works. When the dive works, Norm Chow, you're going to get the dive 35 times.
Over and over and over and over again.
I feel like you could hear two different confidence levels in those two interviews, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, like way different.
I'm wondering what Leon's weight cut is like. I don't know if Leon walks around at 197, did he say?
Yeah.
When you're talking about cutting where you have no fat and you really have no weight to give.
He's at 197 at 8% body fat.
And has to cut to 165?
I thought it was 170, but anywhere in that ballpark, yeah.
In that ballpark. It's that's got to be a brutal cut, and you could hear it in his voice. And I've seen guys go through terrible weight cuts. And the things that you've got to do to your body to express all the water, all the liquid in the body, because that's where you lose the 15 pounds.
Yeah.
You've seen guys, the story of Mark Schultz, where he gorted himself before some match, and his brother stepped in, and I think it was part of the movie where they had to lose 20 pounds in 9 hours, something like that, 20 pounds in 10 hours. It was a short period of time to drop the weight, and all they did was express all the water from his body. And these fighters get dehydrated, they get fatigued, and then they're expected to step into a ring or into a cage and give it their all. It really is incredible what these guys put themselves through. Now, he's used to it because he's a wrestler. I mean, these cuts are probably a little bit easier because he experienced them through wrestling. Some of these mixed martial artists, they come up through that world of boxing, and boxers have to make cuts too. For the most part, I guess most of these fighters probably experienced a cut and understand what it demands of their body. But that is significant. I'm just kicking myself. I wanted to ask the question, and I didn't feel like it was the right time. And I never know with these champions. You know, Kamaru Usman is a welterweight champion. He's the belt holder.
Yeah.
He is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the entire world right now. Just so everybody understands who just was on air with us. He is pound-for-pound looked at as the number one fighter in the world right now. So I didn't want to get over my skis with some of the questions, but when he was talking about the weight cut, I wanted to say, hey, Kamaru, you have owned this belt since the beginning of 2019. I think he won the belt back in February or early March of 2019. You've owned the welterweight belt that long. You ever thought about bumping up and taking the next belt above you? Not making the cut? Taking a bigger payday to go fight the belt holder at the next weight? The problem is I'm not versed enough, and I know he's thinking about this fight,
yeah,
defending his welterweight belt, and I didn't want him to be like, why are we talking about other weight classes? I've got a title fight coming up in 2 days, and you want to talk about another weight class? So I didn't want to get into that mix, but at some point, I'd love to see him branch out a little bit. We've seen a lot of fighters do that. There's been a lot of fighters that are like, oh, okay, I've dominated this weight class for 4 years. Now let me go take this weight class, and they'll be double belt holders. Manny Nunez has been a double belt holder for a while.
All right, we delayed it about 10 minutes. Let's get to it. It's number 12 in our top 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan. We feature one of the best offensive weapons in the state as our next selection, who compiled over 500 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns last season. Expectations are through the roof for what he could accomplish with the Utes this season. Coming in at number 12 from the University of Utah, 6'4", 240-pound tight end, Dalton Kincaid. University of Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham.
Dalton Kincaid, in our opinion, one of the best tight ends, if not the best in the country. He's a complete tight end, can do it all. He can block, he can catch. He's just a very athletic tight end with excellent size.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Well, a guy that is expected to have a very, very good season. There's a lot of weapons for Cam Rising, but very few can top what this guy can do. Dalton Kincaid coming in at number 12.
So I am just tweeting out the other video. And there's a couple of things about him. Number one, he is the recipient of having a lot of opportunity on the field because of some of the personnel groups that Utah puts on the field. So I always hate to get out of Dalton Kincaid. It is an explanation of what that Oregon defense was attempting to do. I can't remember if it was Oregon or I can't remember who it was that first video. I'll go back and look at it. But it's tweeted out at 975 Hans if you want to go look at it. But what the defense was trying to do when you've got Brant Keithy on the field and Britton Covey on the field, they went a single safety high. They run Keithy off on a it was a twin set look. They run Keithy off. They take the safety over to the left, and your quarterback basically looks the single high safety off, and you run Dalton Kincaid on a quick corner route, and you throw it over the top, and it's man-on-man, and it's that ends up a 6'5" guy on probably a 5'10" nickel.
Good luck with that.
5'11" nickel.
Yeah.
People think that these things just happen. They never just happen. Utah can go in with so many different lineups. Now, you lose Cole Fotheringham, and Cole was in a lot of different packages where you could have Keithy, Cole, and Kincaid as a receiver look. But Dalton Kincaid is going to be the recipient of so many targets because I think Vele's coming along as a primary target. Maybe Vele becomes... Maybe Vele becomes the target.
Yeah.
That's very possible, too, because Kincaid is no longer a mystery. He's no longer a surprise. So he's probably going to have a little bit more focus, but he's a mismatch issue. And then the other video I sent out, Scotty, is him picking up a block and getting Britton Covey an extra 6 yards because he hustled about 30 yards to pick up a block.
By the way, here's Fred Whittingham from earlier talking about Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, first of all, talk about physical development. You know, when he showed up, he was just a little bit over 220 pounds. He's 245 pounds now. Being in our program with our strength and conditioning and nutrition programs, he's been able to put on really solid weight. He's now the size of an NFL tight end. And with that, he's kept all the athleticism, all the speed. He came to us blessed with really good ball skills, really good hands. That's been nothing that, you know, but gotten better there. And he's another one that's emerged as a big time leader on the team. He sets the tone. He practices hard. And, you know, the last thing I'd say about him is that he's become a really efficient blocker. You know, when we watched this film out at the University of San Diego, that was kind of like our one area where like, okay, is he going to line up and be a blocker? He was such a receiving tight end there. But he's really come along, and I think he's become a very solid blocker as well.
Freddie Whittingham talking about a man who makes his job as a tight end coach very significantly easier.
Yeah, Freddie's done such a good job with the tight ends. It was probably tough for Freddie when he got that job. Everybody was like, oh, well, that's Kyle Whittingham's brother. There's nepotism. Freddie's been a very good tight ends coach. Look at all the tight ends he's produced, including Brant Keithy, and working with different coordinators along the way, too. He's done a great job kind of fitting in with them, but he is – raising and building and teaching these tight ends great technique. So he talked about Dalton Kincaid as a blocker. And, Scotty, we can go into the blocking of Dalton. I obviously didn't post a video of Dalton's blocking because I came across a couple of things that left some to be desired. He runs – a lot of times he runs connected to the line. They like to connect Dalton Kincaid to the line, so they put him just outside the offensive tackle. And then they like to put – Brant Keithy in the H-back set. And they like to run combo blocks between Kincaid and Keithy. Keithy has always been the more dominant blocker. Believe it or not, he's the more dominant blocker. He's just a little bit more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Kincaid may not have been as used to it or as versed in it, but I think Kincaid will come a long way. But you go back and look in the film, and when we finally do get to Brant Keithy, I'm going to include some blocking footage because Keithy's ran some dudes right in the ground.
Yeah.
He's very athletic and probably underestimated with his explosion. Dalton Kincaid could be a better blocker. If that's the one area I'd really like to see him improve.
And Freddie pointed to that and said he's getting better. Now let's see if that's more than just lip service.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, coming up next, another edition of Whole World News straight ahead right here on The Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60. 3, 2, 1. 60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah. 60 and 60. As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! 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 Go! It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Time for another edition of Whole World News.
I was excited to talk to you about this one. We're going to go to London, England. There's a place called the British Store, and it's called British Store Cupboard Classics. It's an ice cream place. It's an ice cream shop in London. So, Scotty, they've got a couple of new flavors that they've put out there. And I'm just going to throw this out. Before I give you the flavors, I'm going to throw this out there.
All right.
They've sold out 6 weeks' worth of ice cream in just 4 days. Talking about these three flavors. Really, there's four or five, but these three flavors in particular. Ketchup,
oh,
baked beans, and mayo-flavored ice cream.
Mayo flavor?
Yeah. Mayo flavor.
What? And they sold out.
Yeah, sold out. 6 weeks' worth of ice cream. They made 6 weeks' worth of ice cream to fill these new flavors, and they're sold out. Ketchup, baked beans, and mayo ice cream. Any of the three sound good to you?
All right, so let's go in order here of things that I would at least – none of them sound good, but that I would at least give a shot. Number one would probably be baked beans.
Yeah,
number two, a ketchup. And then I don't think I could try mayo.
So I was thinking
– look, you know, give me a sandwich, load that sucker up with mayo.
I'm with you on that. I was thinking about this. What about two scoops of baked beans and a scoop of the mayo?
Okay, there you go.
That sounds pretty good, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm down for that.
The ketchup and mayo doesn't sound as good. The ketchup's probably a bit too tangy.
Also, you combine the ketchup and the mayo, you get fry sauce ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Maybe a little barbecue sauce ice cream.
Well, people dip their fries in their Frosties. They like that ice cream dip.
Okay, maybe this isn't so outlandish then.
Yeah, that might be actually good. Mix the mayo ice cream and the ketchup ice cream together and just get a big batch of piping hot fries salted and run them through that ice cream fry sauce.
There you go. I don't hate that.
Holy cow, man. This is sounding better and better.
We've sold this.
I would do this. Yeah. I would eat the baked beans first.
You guys need to patent that thing.
I know, right? All right, Rich, you get mayo ice cream. How appealing does that sound to you?
I don't know how many customers I'll get in for that dessert.
Yeah. You come buy a new vehicle from Tim Daly Nissan Murray, we will not give you mayo ice cream.
I'll guarantee it.
But
come on down.
You will hook them up with a forever warranty, which you charge exactly $0 for.
$0. That's like getting the dessert with the car here. See? Like my dessert, you have a forever warranty, the engine, the transmission, as long as you own that car. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We've been here for 52 already. So let's use the 52 number. If you want to keep that car for 52 years, it'll have a warranty on that engine transmission forever. Doesn't matter how many miles you put on.
Those are the big ones, too. That powertrain, you need that sucker.
Have you changed the transmission
no,
recently?
Fortunately not.
Yeah, that's $5,000 to $7,000, depending on what you got.
Engine's probably, what, $8,000 to $9,000 these days?
Oh, easy, all day, if you can get them.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, what car is selling like hotcakes right now? What car are you having a hard time keeping on the lot?
The Rogue. The Rogue, the Sentra. I get them in, they're gone. Because they're great on gas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nissan's the number one manufacturer of the best gas mileage in the industry. So, and there's a lot. And, of course, we sell the Leaf as well. You know? And we have the trucks. We have everything is just moving like crazy. We got the new Aria coming up, which is a brand-new electric vehicle that we have on order now. We have
is that some of those kind of an SUV-ish?
SUV-ish, up to 300 miles on a charge. And it's
really?
Absolutely stunning, gorgeous. You can come in and look at pictures. And we can take a deposit on them, and it'll be here ready in the next few months. You'll be able to see those.
I got to look at that.
But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, come down. I've got a few of the Sentras. I've got more than a few of the Altimas. I've got some of the trucks. I've got a real nice selection of new, and of course, 250 used. So I got plenty to choose from, and they're all pretty much good on gas. And for the guys that need work trucks, we do the best we can with gas on those, you know. And, of course, everything goes through the shop. Everything's in beautiful condition. We're 100%. We can take care of everybody that walks in the door.
So the forever warranty, you talk about the great selection of used vehicles you have here. That also applies to probably about 98% of those used inventories. You're going to throw that on. This isn't just a brand new thing, a new vehicle thing. It's a used vehicle as well.
Yeah. Most people like a car that's pretty new, and that's our forte. I do have older cars here, but most of them are less than 5 years old. They're less than 7 years old, and they have less than 75,000 miles on them. And all those cars have that warranty. Comes with the car at the price you see online.
Wow.
You know, you just say, go shop online, come down and come see the car, and let's put it together. It's nice and easy.
4528 South State Street. We got some gear for you as well. Come by, grab some goodies, and let's go. Let's get you in one of these vehicles. Tim Daly Nissan in Murray right here on The Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.